The epistles from 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. In the epistle lesson, John writes, If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. The illustration I picked when preparing the sermon this morning is going to fall flat on its face, because I had forgotten that because we have confirmation service after this, we aren't going to have green pyramids, but red pyramids, just to make it a little easier. But I just want you to imagine that today, as it's supposed to be, we have green pyramids for the first Sunday of Trinity, and that's the color that I'm wearing. Just ignore the red right now and listen to what I have to say. Today's color is green for a reason. Trinity season, the Sundays after Trinity, it's about growth in the Christian life. From Advent all the way up through Pentecost, the church year is about Jesus Christ and his life. But now, during the second half of the church year, during Trinity, it's about the life of Christians. It's about our lives in Christ, our lives in faith, and specifically about our growth. Our growth in the things of God, growth in faith, growth in love, growth in hope. And so, at least from my understanding, that is why we have the color green for this Sunday and Sundays beyond this. Green signifies, as it does, of course, growth. This is the season of growth, not just because it's spring and the farmers have their crops in and it is green trees and lawns as far as the eye can see and fields, but because of the church year as well. Yes, there is, of course, power in the seed, the word of God. Growth comes from God. God is the one that enables us to have faith, hope, and love. And the Holy Spirit is the one that creates and keeps us in that faith. But as Christians, we are not merely 100% passive in our active life, in our life of faith, our life of sanctification. We are not inanimate bumps on a log just being acted upon from the outside. But rather, we ourselves, for our own lives and hearts, are gardeners, meant to take care of the soil and the plants that are coming up from God's seed as it bears fruit. And we focus on today that growth namely and specifically in the topic, does our faith manifest itself in love towards our brother? Does our faith manifest itself towards those that God has placed close to us in our lives? There's a bad example of this in the gospel lesson. It's always best to learn from a good example. Let someone show you the right way to do it, and you can imitate them. But we can also learn from bad examples. People that get it completely wrong. People that do the wrong thing. We can follow what they did and then just inverse it, and hopefully not make the same mistake. The rich man and Lazarus is a well-known story. A man who had abundant wealth, and he had a man who had an abundant need right at his doorstep, but time and time again, he stepped over him, stepped past him, did not pause to take care of this man. And so, we find, when they both die, they go to different destinations. The man with the wealth proved himself to be faithless and went to hell, away from God and God's comfort forever. Lazarus himself, though poor in this life, turned out to be rich for eternity as he went to heaven, to Abraham's bosom, as it says. Now, it's not explicit. Jesus doesn't say explicitly this in the parable, but it is implicit there for all of us to see, know, and to understand. The rich man should have helped Lazarus. The rich man could have helped Lazarus, the poor man lying at his gate. The rich man should have taken a small amount of what he had been blessed by God with and used it to help this poor man Lazarus out, but he didn't. It says he stepped past him, looked past him, and such a sorry state was this man that something that would have been unclean to have happened continued to happen, and that the dogs were licking this man's sores. This man ignoring Lazarus didn't, though, just make Lazarus' life more sorrowful, that it did, but it also did this. It revealed the rich man's heart. It laid bare for all to see, most importantly, God, who this rich man's God truly was. That is to say, he had no true faith in God and no true love for God. He could have loved his neighbor, Lazarus. He should have loved his neighbor, Lazarus, the neighbor right in front of him. But I would even say this, not just his neighbor, but his brother. His brother, Lazarus, in two senses. The first, the brother of kin, the brother of a relative, the brother of someone you are related to. Maybe distantly, but certainly, yes, related. They were both members of the tribes of Israel. That is implicit in this. It was like Watsika, where you have a third cousin. Maybe you don't see each other at every family reunion, but you are still related and have that tie, however far back it goes, and at least with that, hopefully, the understanding of some sort of degree of obligation to help out if there is a need. But there's a second sense in which Lazarus is the rich man's brother, in that they are both believers. Or at least ostensibly believers on the surface. Both of them were members of the Old Testament religion, the Christian religion in its infant form, trusting in the God of Israel with the same faith and hope. And this much is evidenced by the fact that Lazarus goes to heaven, and also evidenced by the fact that the rich man knows who Abraham is when he sees him. Paul addresses this matter quite clearly when he writes to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, if anyone does not provide for their relations, their blood relations, and especially the members of their own household, he is worse than an unbeliever, Paul says. You see, we get a real glimpse as to what the Holy Spirit, God, thinks about someone that lives as the rich man in the parable does, with apathy towards his relatives, with apathy towards his co-faithful believers. And for this apathy that the rich man displayed, he suffered. When he died, he did not go to Abraham's bosom. When he died, he did not go to eternal peace and rest. When the end came, he was separated from Abraham. And though he knew him, though he knew that's where he was supposed to be, though he knew the patriarch by sight, as Jesus tells us, he was not there. Because his confession of Abraham was an empty one. his knowledge of Abraham and the God that had made the promise to Abraham and in whom Abraham believed was void of love, manifest in no love for his neighbor. We are Christians. We have been loved by God. We are loved by God presently and will be. And whatever we have or don't have, or whatever degree we have it or don't have it in this life, is a manifestation of God's good and gracious will. If we have abundance, he has blessed us with it. If we don't have as much as somebody else, yes, that too is a blessing from God for his good will and reasons. The provisions that we have for this life, to live, survive, and thrive, from God, our life itself, from him. And that's to say nothing of the salvation won for us by Jesus Christ and his blood on the cross. The atonement, nothing that we have done, but purely something that God has done. And so, knowing these things, this whole smorgasbord of all the stuff that God has given to us, God has done for us, how could we not in turn love God? How could we not in turn thank God? And if loving God means also loving our brother, loving our neighbor, being good in actuality by our deeds to those that he has placed before us, how could we not want to do that? How could the rich man, having all that he had from God, not want to love his brother, his neighbor, whom he has seen? All that we have comes from God's hand, and I hope all of us wake up every morning and remember that, not thinking that it is up to us purely in our own efforts to be blessed with our daily bread, but that God is the one that provides us with it and the opportunity to earn and make it. It is from God, and yes, when we take of our time, our energy, and the resources that God has given us to love and help our neighbor, our close neighbor, the Lazarus is in our lives, which, yes, starts inside of your own home and then moves out to your Christian family, neighbors, co-workers, friends, and the like from there. If we take of what we've been given to love and help them, we are actually no poorer for it, because all that we have is on loan from God. It is held in a trust by us to use, but to use on his behalf. So as Christians, let's learn from the bad lesson of the rich man and Lazarus. Let's learn from his mistake and not live as he did with an apathy towards the people around us, our families, our friends, our church, but let's live actively for them as best that we can. We understand that there are limited times and resources for what we can do and what we should use, and I am certainly not advocating you give up your duties and vocations that God has placed you in and go around the world and do something over there. No. This lesson for us as Christians is to love the people God has placed before you, to show your faith, to show them love, to show that you have actual love for God by loving the people nearest to you and loving them generously. That is what this is about. Let us love as people who have been loved by God in Jesus Christ. Let us love freely. Let us love abundantly and thereby help them, and thereby show that we do indeed in our hearts have the love of our God. To him be all glory, praise, honor, worship, now and forever. Amen.